Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Overnight America, we continue for one more hour tonight. Yeah, my wife and son went to go see the fourth and final Toy Story movie, and they all gave raving reviews. My son said he had to go use the potty the whole time, but he held it in because he didn't want to miss any of the movie. That's how good this movie was. If you can get a four-year-old to hold off on using the bathroom, it's pretty good.
Miles and miles from your nice warm bed. You just remember what your past said, or you got a friend in me.
So Pixar and Disney's critically acclaimed Toy Story 4, number one in the box office. Hollywood Reporter saying $118 million globally, $238 million. So not bad, over $100 million opening up. It was less than they thought it would be, but it was still over $100 million, which is not an easy thing to do for an animated feature. But I think there were so many people that wanted to see this, and they remember all of the Toy Story movies leading up to this point. I saw a meme online that was awesome. It was from Billy Madison, that old Adam Sandler movie, where he has to go through school and, you know, graduate in order to inherit his shares of his dad's business. And at the very start, he goes back to like first grade and he's sitting with all of the kids at story time. And of course, an adult Adam Sandler around a bunch of like 6 year olds. And the meme was basically says, me watching Toy Story 4. And it was just the adult around a bunch of kids. And yes, of course, you have all those memories growing up of Toy Story 4. Pre-release tracking suggested that Toy Story 4 could debut at $140 million, but well underneath that. Pixar's Incredibles 2, Finding Dory, are the biggest animated openings following Shrek the Third. And then Toy Story 4 comes in after that. Toy Story 3 debuted at $126 million. That's if you adjust it to inflation. And Toy Story 2, over $100 million for that one, too. The first one only got $60 million at launch, but I don't think too many people understood how special that first Toy Story movie was when it comes to animation and everything else. So that's pretty cool. Now, Tom Hanks was on the Graham Norton show over on the BBC. Graham Norton is awesome. Awesome. I don't know how many writers and producers he has on the show, but he is such a good host, and he always comes up with some great questions. And, you know, the nice thing about it is it's a comedy. So you get these A-lister type of actors and actresses on the couch. There's normally three or four of them, normally three. And then Graham Norton asks questions, and he does such a great job keeping a conversation and keeping it fun. And he was asking Tom Hanks about what it's like doing the voice of Woody on Toy Story. I totally relate to this being in radio.
You know, it's one of those jobs where you kind of think, oh, how hard can that be? But they really do put you through it.
Dear. I have never begun a recording session without wishing it was already over. Because understand, Woody is clenched all the time.
Yeah.
He's clenched. There was something he's got to explain, or come on, guys! Or no, look out! This way! It's all that. And you can't move. The microphone is right there, and you can't move, and you have to be like this. And it's like, and then they save the last thing for you, usually at the end of a very long workday, is the grunts.
Yeah.
And they will show you an animatic of Woody climbing up a bunch of books onto a thing and say, okay, could you do grunts of climbing up? Okay, all right.
Yeah. Totally understand that. You know, here at KMOX, I have this entire studio to myself. It's not like during Total Information AM, where you have the producers and you have the other hosts and, you know, everyone's sitting around and there's things going down and you go to the newsroom and there's people working like crazy and they're running around. Oh, they got the next big story. And then you look down and there's people in the production studios and over there is the news director sitting there and, oh, here's some traffic in that studio. It's not like that at night. It feels so isolated. I mean, I'm in this studio by myself. I look out the window. It's only dark. You can't see anything. There's not even cars driving by. Every once in a while, you'll see the lights of a police or emergency vehicle go by, but that's about it. So Tom Hanks going into a booth and doing the voice of Woody, totally relate to that sort of thing. You're in there alone, and you're like, all right, now I got to make the grunting noises. Totally get that. He was also there with some other big name actors. Gwyneth Paltrow was there too. And from Spider-Man, Tom Holland. Tom Holland's the guy that reminds me of Marty McFly, where he's the new Spider-Man and he kind of has a little squeaky voice sometimes. Kind of reminds me of like an uncertain Marty McFly style type of person. And they played off of each other. That's the Graham Norton show here on BBC.
Tom was made.
He's going to give you an exercise. So if you've ever wanted to try to do a little bit of voice acting on your own, Tom Hanks gives you a little exercise to give it a try. Here, listen to this. Well, maybe not that part.
I think they are gleeful at making you ring every possible meaning from a line. When you're in, like, the young act, repetitions, the exercise repetitions, where you have a very simple cue and a very simple line. And the cue might be, would you like some more coffee? And the line you have to say is, coffee, you think I want more coffee? Boy, do I need more coffee. So if you would say, coffee, do I want coffee? Boy, do I need more coffee, okay? And you're going to say it every conceivable way you can.
Sure.
And all I'm going to say is,
let's do this.
Would you like more coffee? Would you like more coffee?
Okay, so he's going to do this exercise with a very young Spider-Man actor, Tom Holland. And you just heard him set it up, and he said, okay, this is what you're going to do, okay?
Okay, and you're going to say it every conceivable way you can.
Sure.
And all I'm going to say is,
let's do this.
Would you like more coffee? Would you like more coffee?
Well, he looked confused at first, like, oh, are we doing this?
Coffee, boy, do I need more coffee. Good, thank you. Would you like some more coffee?
Coffee, boy, do I need some more coffee.
Could you try it with a little more something to it? Because we need, this is a big important scene, because King Kong is out front and he's going to smash the building.
Okay, yes, Tom Hanks.
Would you like some more coffee?
Coffee, please, sir, I need some more coffee.
Good, let's try it again. Would you like some more coffee?
Coffee, please, sir, I need some more coffee.
Would you like some more coffee?
Coffee, please, sir, come on, I need some more coffee.
Would you like some more coffee?
Coffee, please, Tom Hanks, give me some coffee.
So they do that until they break you. That's the exercise they do with the young actors. Coffee, please. I need some more coffee. You don't need to pay me for that. I mean, I can get into a studio and do that. Just get me in the morning or the afternoon. You just get me at the right time. Naturally, that comes out. That was on the Graham Norton show on the BBC. Tom Hanks testing Tom Holland's acting skills. Now, if you ever wanted to test your own acting skills, you and your partner, whoever it is, say, okay, ask me if I want some coffee, and then I'll reply like this, and we'll try it different ways and see how many different ways I can do it. It's pretty fun, huh? Maybe you can try it with your dog later, I guess. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America, we continue here. It's too funny between Tom Hanks and the young Spider-Man actor, Tom Holland. All right, well, summer vacation time. Kevin Killeen has a whole nother story. Maybe we'll do that here. Love Kevin Killeen's whole nother stories. USA Today did a story about YouTube. I do enjoy YouTube personalities. I would go and watch their videos. Most of them are about 15 minutes long-ish. But there's a lot of people doing really creative things and commentaries and different pieces of history or science or whatever it is. And to me, it's just enjoyable that you're not watching something that's polished or heavily produced like you would on a History Channel or one of those type of networks that pretend to do history, but, you know, you go there and it's like, okay, History Channel, let's look at Ancient Aliens. Okay, this doesn't seem much like history anymore. Or, you know, let's watch Pawn Stars or whatever. Or Discovery Channel. They're not really discovering much anymore. But, you know, these people online do these really, really cool things. Like, you know, you'll watch videos and you'll say, yeah, I never really thought of that. It's kind of a cool idea. And they'll bring up ideas that will eventually get stolen by other people on television because they also watch these people on YouTube. But YouTube also has a pretty big problem. They have a giant influx of children who are watching the platform. So if you were to just guess the average age of someone that would go on there for entertainment, you would probably guess under the age of 18 because a lot of these big-time personalities are geared towards kids, as in they know there's a lot of kids on the platform. So they'll put out content that is kid-friendly or at least kind of has the whiff of something a preteen or a teenager would enjoy because, you know, oh, you got to be edgy and cool, but like in a teenage edgy way. And they cater to those sort of things. Well, it's 2019, and the biggest YouTuber, the person that not necessarily has the most subscribers, but the person that is getting the most views, is a team of animators in Irvine, California. They're called Coco Melon. In the last 30 days, when they wrote this article on USA Today, this is the number, they had 2.5 billion video views, 83 million viewers daily. And we're talking about young viewers, 83 million daily young viewers. That's insane. The way they look at that is, let's compare that to network television. TV broadcast networks averaged about 13 million viewers daily during the TV season. So you have an animation company that says they could get you the eyeballs of 83 million people. And then you have the major networks, the ABCs, CBSs, Foxes, NBCs, the broadcast television crews, the CWs, all of those, if they're still around. I don't even know all the different ones that you would can clump in there, but they can only claim 13 million a day. So you have one, 83 million versus 13 million. It's pretty crazy. So that's also caused a problem in the online digital video world. So you have people that realize, whoa, wait a minute. There's a lot of people watching this sort of thing. What if I were to try to sneak in adult entertainment as if it was children's entertainment in order to get kids to accidentally watch this video, thinking it's something else? And that happens all the time. Because when you got that many people, more than network television watching, that's a pretty big deal. So YouTube's most popular programming, targeting kids. However, you're not technically allowed to watch it if you're a kid, is what they say. You have to be with an adult. It's almost like going to the movie theater and you're underage. You got to have adult supervision, like PG-13 with parental guidance or whatever. So this week, videos have surfaced that the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, is set to respond to complaints by parents and other groups that are saying YouTube isn't doing enough to make sure that children's programming is children's programming. So what will end up happening is people will put these cartoon videos together. And we could use Toy Story 4 as an example. They use that actually in this example from USA Today. You'll have adults that will put together these adult-oriented, you know, like mock videos. So they'll put like the Toy Story characters in adult situations and sometimes X-rated situations for comedy and parody or whatever. But they try to sneak it in. So if someone were to like go and say, oh, I want to see Toy Story, this one would get snuck in there. And kids are accidentally seeing some pretty graphic and things that they're not prepared for, disturbing things, which is why a lot of advocacy groups are saying, you got to figure out how to fix this sort of thing because this shouldn't be happening. You know, we're with our kid and all, but this shouldn't be happening. And a lot of big-time experts agree on this sort of thing. The algorithms that are suggesting these sort of things, so let's say you were looking up the Toy Story 4 trailer, and then the algorithm says, oh, you like Toy Story? How about this other Toy Story video that happens to be an adult video that's not meant for children are getting clumped in there too? So the controversies are there, and YouTube doesn't know what to do with them. So originally, YouTube, which is owned by Google, by the way, in Google being the biggest search engine in the planet, YouTube is the second largest search engine on the planet, said that they'll potentially do something more radical, like remove all kids programming from the network and add it to a YouTube Kids app specifically, where you can find it only in one place. Now, YouTube's hesitant to do something like this, but at the same time, they might not have any other option. They're hesitant because they realize if they separate this sort of thing, they're going to get a lot less views, because if they're going to put it only on a kids app, well, number one, you got to police that better, because you absolutely cannot allow anything to get in there on that point. But on the second side of things, there's not going to be any adults that are going to accidentally look at these things too. There's going to be a lot less views. It might actually hurt their ecosystem when it comes to ad dollars, things like that. So it's a big problem when it comes to their bottom line. So they can have the regulation side, which is, oh, we might get fined for giving adult content to children on accident. You know, just like a lot of times anyone giving adult content to children that they didn't ask for. But then at the same time, they're like, okay, maybe we just pay the fine, and because we're going to lose all this ad dollars or whatever. They haven't announced what they're going to do yet. All I know is they have to do something. The U.S. government is, you know, pretty quick to be on their toes. They're like, okay, you're going to have to do something, because they're ready to step in. Here's something else that happens on YouTube, which is actually pretty sad. I read this here, and I understand it was a controversy, and I think we talked about it on the show once. Another controversy includes pedophiles commenting on videos that include young children, which provoked YouTube to say it would change its commenting policy and not allow channels with minors to include a comment section. So what was happening was these adult pedophiles would go to these videos that had children involved, and in the comment section, they would say, oof, flash forward to this thing. And they were trying to, like, lead other pedophiles to parts where they would look at that and find that appealing. It was really creepy and weird. So YouTube said, okay, we're just going to shut it down right away. We're not going to allow anyone to comment on these videos. But then again, it still happened to them, and they still didn't have a way to combat that sort of thing. These people are allowed on their platform, and they don't know how to combat it, other than shutting it all down. So they got some problems, man. YouTube has got some problems. They got a lot of people, and they got a lot of problems. You can find that story on USA Today. It says, why YouTube's kid issues are so serious. I had no idea that the top getter of views right now, 83 million young viewers daily. That's amazing to me. 83 million. Wow. You can see why network television is very worried about this. You got some animation studio. This isn't Disney putting these videos out. It's an animation studio in California getting 2.5 billion views a month. That's crazy to me. All right, we're going to do Kevin Kleen's whole nother story about summer vacations coming up. And I got a couple of space stories, too. Maybe we'll do some space stories. Ooh, this is Overnight America, KMOX. Isn't that cool? Game 7 back again tonight. Cardinals get a night off, and then we replay Game 7. That'll be fun to relive that without all the anxiety of not knowing how it's going to play out. Oh, was that a hard one to watch in the first period? Oh, it was so hard. It wasn't looking good for them for a while, but I guess you're going to hear it again tonight at 7. That's really neat. That'll lead into Overnight America. So cool, so cool. This is what my wife says, one of her biggest criticisms of me. She said, before we were married, oh, I thought you loved to go on vacations. I had no idea that after we would get married, you would say, no vacations. Number one, I'm cheap. And it's hard for me to look at it being a worthwhile investment of my money, because I am so cheap. I'm a tightwad. Yeah, I know. I get it. But yeah, eventually I think we'll go. I mean, you know, things pick up, you know, things start to get a little bit better once everything's in line. It's a lot easier to cut out something like that and just enjoy yourself, as opposed to 1 week of the year where you really go all out. But my other reservation of going on vacations is because I have a dog. And since we moved here, we don't want to just, like, you know, we don't really want to burden any of the people we met to watch our dog. And at the same time, we don't want to leave our dog with someone else. So, you know, for the good old pup's sake, I don't think we're going anywhere just yet. But then again, he's getting old and he might be kicking the can here soon. So, you know, vacations are an interesting thing. Sometimes families love doing it. Sometimes they don't. Good old Kevin Kline did a whole nother story on summer vacations.
Like every prison break movie, you have to enjoy the plan of the escape before it gets here.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Here's Carol Daniel on Deadline. Carol, where are you going on summer vacation?
Well, it's my 25th wedding anniversary, so we are probably going to Miami.
Counseling?
Nope. We're in love, Kevin. Don't even try it. And then I already went to Houston to visit my sister and her family.
The anticipation must be building.
Well, I always want to get away from certain people who are standing in front of me with a microphone. I need time away from them.
Kevin, I'm going to Tampa, Florida. My sister and brother-in-law bought a condo down there to avert Illinois income taxes. Did I say that out loud? And I'm going to go down
to
Tampa.
What about Wisconsin?
Well, they don't live in Wisconsin. They live in...
You usually go to Door County?
Many summers I go to Door County. This year, we're going to Florida, Clearwater Beach, Tampa area. I'm going to be wearing Blues gear because we know what happened to the Lightning. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Jane Tucker? Mm-hmm. Where do you go on summer vacation?
Well, I'm excited for this summer because this is going to be a big vacation for us. We're going on a cruise down to Key West in Nassau, Bahamas, a short cruise. Then I'm taking my kids, who are 21 and 16, to Disney World. I've never been to Disney World in my whole life, so we're all going to Disney World.
Here's the room where Roger Brand works. Roger?
Yes.
There's a tanker truck at a Velvet Freeze. Hey, where are you going for summer vacation?
Going to Sedalia tomorrow for a wedding. That we have to, my wife's doing the flowers for it. It's in a barn.
But what are you doing for fun, though? I mean, what's the big trip?
I don't know if there will be one. We went to Florida in May, so that was sort of our early summer vacation.
So you're just stuck here with your solar pop of Mountain Dew?
Probably, yeah. Maybe we'll get away to the Lake of the Ozarks for a long weekend, but it looks like a long, hot summer here for me.
These are hard times.
The dog days of summer for me, yes.
And how about KMOX medical and religion reporter Fred Bottomer?
This summer, I'm not really going anywhere. I'm probably going to go...
What? You're the hardest working man here. You need two vacations.
I'm probably going to go at some point to...
You got the medical show, the religion show. You got Mark Reardon. That's a show and a half.
I'm going to try and go to see one of my sons who's working in Atlanta this summer. I then swing over to Washington, D.C. and pick up the other
son. That's a big swing.
It's a big swing. With a rental car, I can do it.
No matter how much we like our jobs, the only thing people love more than summer vacation is thinking about it while you're at work. With a whole other story, I'm Kevin Kline.
Or you're like me that try to not think about it. Oh, man. You know, who knows, maybe one day I'll find myself enjoying it. Kind of like how one day kids, they hate one thing and then their taste buds change and all of a sudden they love it. Maybe that'll be me with vacationing, but I don't see that being the case. I got a couple of space stories here. I love the late night space stories. You see, the Mars Curiosity rover may have found methane gas output. Now, there's a couple of things that could be the culprit of this, and they don't exactly know what it is. Culprit A, which is there could be some sort of living creature that could have produced this, and you start to see this releasing into the atmosphere for their detectors to pick up. That's number one. Or number two, they say that researchers have found traces of methane in the past. It could mean that it has long been built into the planet for millions and millions and millions of years, and now it's eventually starting to leak itself out, which is, I think, the much more likely scenario. So when you see they found gas on Mars, this is a big deal. It's not really a big deal yet. It's just, okay, you know, it's not a big deal yet. I found this one fascinating. Apparently, scientists were able to figure out the temperature of a lab-made black hole. Did you know they're making black holes in labs? These tiny black holes. In 2009, researchers managed to create a different kind of black hole, one that absorbs sound, and they were able to get its temperature while doing it. A black hole that absorbs sound. You want to know how much a black hole, what the temperature would be? It would be negative 459 degrees Fahrenheit. Negative 459 degrees. Now that's chilly. One other space story. Russia is aiming to have its first baby born in space, which is another deceptive story. This is from the Daily Mail, the other one from Futurism. So it says Moscow's aiming for the first baby born in space to be Russian, and that's what they're trying to do. Now, they do admit this. They're not mad scientists. They're not saying that they would put the baby's health at risk in order to make sure the woman gives birth in lower atmosphere. But this is what they say to get around that. They want to send two Russian astronauts to go up and, you know, and then come back down. And then the baby being conceived in space but would be born here on Earth would count as a space baby. That's what they're saying. But you know what? The scientists and the ones that go up there to work the space station, they say, I don't feel comfortable doing that in space. I don't feel comfortable being your, you know, your test dummy here. This is what I see happening. I'm going to just throw this out there. You know how they're trying to privatize sending people out to space? You know, you spend a couple million bucks and then you spend a few, $30,000 a night at the International Space Station, and then, you know, it's a couple million bucks to go up and down, and maybe they'll say, okay, we'll waive that fee for someone if they want to go up there and, you know, be the first space baby, you know, do the deed up in space. I wonder if they'll offer that up for people, because then they're going to have a bunch of volunteers, because they're just going to think to themselves, this is the only way I'm going to get up there in space. Do you like that's how I say, you know, what they're doing up there? You know, I think everyone knows what that means. So researchers say that they are close to getting this done. What they're basically trying to do is they set a goal and they say, this is what we want to do. How do we achieve this goal? But they don't want to experiment with human embryos. So that's just the way it goes. Now, however, they do say that the Soviets have already dubbed a girl the first space baby because there was a woman from Russia that went into space, the first woman that went into space, came back down, later got pregnant, and because she was in space and then later had a baby, they say that counts as space baby. So, you know, there might be bending the definition of that a little bit, but Russia's got some priorities right now. Here in the United States, we're talking about Space Force. In Russia, they're talking about space babies. Miriam Heyman is from the Ruderman Family Foundation. They got an event coming up at Busch Stadium that I think you should know about. It's a cool event. They'll do it on Tuesday morning. We'll talk to her about that next on Overnight America KMOX. And joining us now is the Chief Inclusion Officer for the Ruderman Family Foundation, Miriam Heyman. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Thank you for having me.
So the 2019 National Play Campaign is going to be at Busch Stadium. It helps to promote the importance of children living a healthy and active lifestyle. So this Tuesday from 10 a.m. to noon at Busch Stadium, can you kind of give me an idea of what to expect if families wanted to be involved?
Sure, yeah. So the Play Campaign promotes a healthy lifestyle and positive decision-making related to health, including exercise and good eating choices among young people. And this program, as well as many other play programs, are fully inclusive. So that means that kids with and without disabilities will play together on field at Busch Stadium with Cardinals athletic training staff. And the kids with disabilities will be alongside the kids without. They won't have peripheral roles at these events. They won't be depicted as heroes defeating the odds. It'll just be real true inclusion. There'll be regular participants alongside the children without disabilities.
Wow. So you say true inclusion. So what kind of events are they going to be doing then at the National Play Campaign this Tuesday?
Well, most importantly, they're going to be having fun. The Cardinal staff, including medical director and head athletic trainer Adam Olson, will be leading the kids in fun exercise activities, obstacle courses. They'll play catch. They'll run around the field. They'll just get out there and they'll have fun. And at the same time, the media coverage of this event and of 30 similar events around the country will show to the American public what true inclusion looks like.
Oh, that's awesome. So the Ruderman Family Foundation advocates for full inclusion of people with disabilities. And you see this at Busch Stadium on Tuesday. So really, this is an event where everyone's welcome. And how does anyone get involved? Do they just show up or do they have to sign up ahead of time?
So, yeah, unfortunately, you do have to sign up ahead of time. Our partners, the National Down Syndrome Society, are working with us to bring kids with and without disabilities to play together. Baseball is the background of this message, of inclusion and the media coverage of this event, because baseball is beloved to so many Americans. And I believe that baseball has a moral authority to speak about topics as important as inclusion, equality, and civil rights. And baseball has a really great history. Curtis Pride, who's a former major league outfielder, was deaf, and Jim Abbott, a former pitcher, was born without a right hand. And these are tremendously successful major league players who contributed to their teams and their communities. And more recently, the Ruderman Family Foundation with Major League Baseball led the change, or the campaign to change the disabled list to what's now called the injured list, to eradicate the notion that people with disabilities can't play, because we know that they can. And so this activity and is one example of that, which I think will change people's minds about what inclusion can and should look like in our society.
Oh, that's interesting. The terminology, I never really would have thought of it that way. So that's a campaign you guys have been working on, and are you making some headway on that?
They made the change, yeah. It was a few months ago in December.
Oh, is that right?
MLB, yeah, there's no more disabled list in Major League Baseball. It's the injured list, and we're tremendously proud of that. And as you know, language is very powerful to shape perceptions, and there is still a lot of stigma around disability in our country. The unemployment rate of people with disabilities is about 70%, and the vast majority of these people can work. But stigma leads employers to believe that they can't, and language perpetuates that. So we're thrilled that Major League Baseball took this gigantic step forward.
Oh, Miriam Heyman with the Ruderman Family Foundation, Chief Inclusion Officer there. Who's your favorite baseball team?
Oh, I'm from Boston, Red Sox all the way.
Oh, Boston Red Sox. So how about the Blues beating your Boston Bruins?
Yeah, well, that was disappointing to many people here, but I prefer the baseball over hockey.
Oh, I see. So you want to block that one out. I understand. Yeah, we finally get to brag here. The Blues finally do it. They finally win the Cup, so I feel like we get a little bit of bragging rights, at least for the next couple of months and into the next season.
So, yes, enjoy. I'm very happy for you.
So the 2019 National Play Campaign, it goes for a couple hours. It sounds like the kids have a blast with this sort of thing, too. It sounds really fun.
Yes, absolutely. It's essence. It's a fun afternoon. And they're on the field. I mean, who wouldn't love that? They're in the midst of Busch Stadium, running around the bases. And they receive training from Cardinal staff. I mean, I think it's a dream come true for many kids.
Yeah. What's the age limit on something like that? Because, you know, I'm 35. Can I go and do it?
No, unfortunately, it's for adolescents and kids.
It sounds fun.
You just barely missed the cutoff.
Well, what are the age limits then?
It goes up until 16.
Oh, okay. So there's a pretty... And what's the youngest you can do?
I think we've had kids as young as 8 at events.
Yeah. So that's what you're looking for. You're looking for, you know, they got to kind of know what they're doing at this point.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's pretty fun. And you guys travel to different ballparks all across the United States. You guys reach tens of thousands of young Americans, giving some positive messages. Well, if you were to give a tip to anyone with a young one right now to try to keep a healthy and active lifestyle, because there's so many distractions, there's so many screens out there, what kind of advice would you give to the parents to make sure the kids want to stay active?
Yeah, that's a great question, especially now as summer is starting and kids are out of school and they have so much leisure time, which they could potentially use either actively or not with their phones. And I would say encourage those kids to get off their phones. I mean, we all know how much better we feel and how much happier we are when we're moving around and outdoors. So I think that's very important.
Get off the phones.
That's
pretty good. You're going to tell them, you know, we're going to start tossing your phone around if you don't get off. That would be something that would scare them to put it down immediately, I would believe.
And this is a great opportunity for the kids to take selfies while they're running around the bases at Busch Stadium and post those selfies if that's what they choose to do.
Oh, boy. So they're going to be able to keep the phone on there. Yeah, they can do a little bit of both. Hopefully it's not all selfies.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some Cardinal staff there, which is really neat that they participate in this sort of thing. That adds a little extra dimension to it, because it's kind of fun when you get the, you know, the major league staff and You know, I understand that there's going to be a Cardinals infielder, Tommy Edmund, that's going to be there, which is really cool, too, that they want to participate in that.
Yeah, I mean, we have been so grateful to our partners, the Professional Baseball Athletic Trainer Society, because the staff across the country has been participating in these events, virtually every team, and players as well. And it makes a difference for these kids because it gives these kids role models so that they can see what a healthy lifestyle can look like in 10, 20 years down the road.
Well, this event is Tuesday morning at Busch Stadium, but if people wanted to check out the work you're doing at the Ruderman Family Foundation, where can they find you guys?
Sure, RudermanFamilyFoundation.org, and Ruderman is R-U-D-E-R-M-A-N.
RudermanFamilyFoundation.org. And Miriam Heyman with the Ruderman Family Foundation, their Chief Inclusion Officer, thanks for spending some time with us here on Overnight America.
Thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. That was nice. Oh, it's good that we get to rub it into the Boston fans. Doesn't it feel a little bit worthwhile? Well, that'll about do it here for Overnight America. Thanks for joining us here. I keep hearing those promos for Game 7 of the Blues. Boston Bruins replayed later tonight starting at 7 o'clock. Now, that's pretty exciting. So we'll be on after that for Overnight America. You can follow me on Twitter in the meantime, at Ryan Recker. Make sure to follow me on there and then message. Let me know that you're there. And if you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast by going to kmox.com/ONA. I could use your help here. If you have an iPhone, this is what I would love for you to do, and it only takes like 30 seconds. When you turn on your iPhone, there's a little purple app there for your podcast. If you press that button, you have the ability to search podcast. Search for Overnight America, and there's a little picture of my face that'll pop up there, Overnight America. And once you open it up, there's a button for you to review. Give us a 5-star review. Give us 5 stars and say, oh, we love the show. It's great. And boom, next thing you know, there's more people listening to the show that way. They help. It helps the discovery of the show online. So if you have the ability to do that, I'm please asking you to do that because it does definitely help us there. If you have an Android phone, you can do something similar. There's a podcast app built into it. Just search for Overnight America. Give us a nice review on there as well. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll see you tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.